maybe it is stupid, but I'm a stupid person. You know what they say, stupid is as stupid does.
Life is a challenge.
How do you get through it?
Laughing at the dark and dirty. We walk you through all the naughty secrets of the adult industry, and you get to be a fly on the wall with two best friends in the business of boobs.
We want to hear your dirty secrets too.
If you have stories to share, questions for us, need advice,
then send us an email to twndpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 702-900-6446. We'll always be laughing here. It's our favorite way to cope. If you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button, share with a friend, and leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. And we thank you for coming this week.
How funny would it have been if I spilled dark coffee all over this brand new white chair and new carpet? Welcome to the Totally Wholesome Not Dirty Podcast. You might recognize the area that I am shooting to you from now. This is not the full unveiling. Veal is deer. Wait, there's a buzzing. Veal is deer, correct? What's this buzzing? I don't like this buzzing. What's that mean? Is this too high? Is my voice too high? What's making the sound? David, am I crazy? Is there sound? Sound. I'm still hearing the buzz. Okay, so something buzzing with my microphone. Is this forever going to be buzzing? Oh, you know what would help? What might help? No, it's not going to help. That is going to help. Is maybe just adjusting the soundboard before I start recording. David, maybe we should cut all this, but I don't think so. Wait, do I have to start over? David, I don't know if I have it in me to start over today. But are we all kind of starting over? Because it's a new year, 2025. And I don't really know where David is gonna cut this in right here, but maybe it'll all be in. Wouldn't that be embarrassing for me? Not really. I have no shame. But the place I'm coming to you from right now is a very small portion of the podcast room that is to come. This is not the full reveal. That's what I was trying to go with, veal. I tried to do reveal and unveiling, and it became unveiling. So anyway, this is a solo episode. So if you're listening right now and you've tried to listen to solo episodes before and you're like, this isn't for me, I completely understand. Feel free to check back next week when hopefully Laura will be with me. Unfortunately, Laura will not be joining me for the first episode in this room. That's why I'm not giving you a full unveiling, and it is also not done yet. But I needed a place to shoot my podcast today that didn't smell like pee. Normally I would do it in my bedroom, but I'm currently working on getting a pee stain out of the carpet because someone decided to have an accident last night and it wasn't my beautiful angel baby boy. It would never be him. So there's a situation with that. I didn't want to sit smelling pee when I have to get this episode out. You know what I mean? So bear with me a little bit as well, because I'm still jet lagged. For those who may not know, I don't know how you couldn't by this point if you listen all the time, but maybe you're a new listener. I just got back from the land down under. So I just got back from Australia, and I feel like whenever I go to Australia, I adjust super quickly to the time difference, but it's like you're getting extra time. You know what I mean? But when you come back to the States, it's like 20 hours of travel time, bro. It's like you lived a whole day already. And then you're like, hey, guess what? You're in the past now. You need to actually relive that entire day over. It's madness. So, of course, I'm tired, but it always messes me up for like way longer than I feel like admitting to today. So from this new space, I think that there's a lot of good that's coming of it. I finally started getting some of the Polaroids up on the wall, and this will all continue to be worked on, and you're going to be so excited when you can see the whole thing. But I think just this little peek is a pretty good indicator that it's going to slap, because this chair is cool, and this is pink, and that's pretty sick. So I wanted to jump into also, since it's a new year, talking to y'all about sponsorships. I know it's so early in the episode, isn't it? But not all of you are joining the Patreon, and that's totally freaking cool. I completely understand, but we need to keep our sponsorship. Now, one of the sponsors that we have had for almost the entirety of the show, since before Laura even was on, when this was just me at my dining room table, our first sponsor was Liquid IV. Liquid IV. And I tell everyone, I always keep Liquid IV stocked for shoots. We always take some in the go bag. There's always some in Laura's little makeup kit and stuff like that. And it's really just the best thing. I took so much of it to Australia because they don't have it there and they have Hydralyte, but it's weird and it's a tab and sometimes there's like floaties in it and I don't really like that. And so I prefer Liquid IV. Now, Liquid IV is doing something new in the new year. So to keep our affiliate, our sponsorship, affiliate, whatever you want to call it with Liquid IV, we have to make one conversion a month. And that's like just starting off. So if only one of you who listens to this show and or watches it wants to help the show, help us keep our sponsor, can I recommend some of my favorite flavors from Liquid IV? Because if you go to liquidiv.com and use code TWND, you get to save 20%. They just sent out the new stuff today, so it is 20% of a discount, which is really awesome. You can experience better hydration today. I drink it every single day. I actually have some in my Shakespeare right now because I'm an adult with a sippy cup. I never go anywhere without this. One time I actually just instinctually carried it into like a nice steak dinner restaurant and realized I was carrying this and I never go anywhere without it. So let me tell you, in there right now, I have guava. Now, I've personally more recently been partial to the sugar-free flavors myself. What's my favorite one? I'm like drawing a complete blank right now. I love the white peach one. There's the grape, but what's the new one that I've been drinking like all the time? Oh my God, you can tell I'm jet lagged. I can't believe I'm doing ad stuff right now. Well, anyway, I like all the sugar-free. David, should I just go back to bed? David? I can't even do an ad read for Liquid IV. Did you know that mixing one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more effectively than water alone? And even if you don't really understand the point that I'm trying to convey by how amazing this stuff is and how I drink it all the time, what you can understand is that if you go to liquidiv.com, you can save 20% and get free shipping on your purchase, which is super freaking awesome because not only are you saving money, not only are you saving yourself from dehydration, you are saving the pod, my friend. All it takes is one. So if you go to liquidiv.com, make sure to use code TWND, save 20%, save the show, all that good stuff. Now back to the show, which I don't even know if I should complete at this point. I'm crazy. Do you know that about me? If you've listened to any of my live streams, if you've listened to the podcast, you have to know by now, right? Like I'm not okay. Like I'm okay. I'm actually great. But like mentally, there's something, it's amiss. Like I'm an idiot. So what I can do now is talk to you for a brief moment about something that I experienced in Australia that involves another person who is pretty crazy. And she's awesome. She's still alive. She's like 92 or something like that. I should actually look that up. I brought up my handy dandy little fake computer today so that I can look things up without having my giant work laptop in here. All right, let's see. How old? Yeah. This is terrible. No one wants to listen to this. It's okay. Yeah. Bitch, how do you not use an iPad? Just why are you not opening? God damn it. I'm so upset with myself right now. No one is listening anymore by this point. That's okay. As long as you heard the Liquid IV thing, that's all I need to know. All right. So, oh my God. Okay. 95. She's 95 years old. She was born in 1929. Do you understand? That's crazy. She's so old, but she has created so much beautiful art. And I want to talk a little bit because, okay, I'm probably going to completely butcher how you say her name. And I maybe should just look that up, but I'm going to try it myself and then see if I was close. Yayoi Kusama. So I'm going to see how, because I want to pronunciate it correctly. Pronunciation. Fuck yeah. Wait, not slow. I don't need to play it slow.
Yayoi Kusama.
I think I did it. I think I did it right. Okay, cool. Whew. Ah, that was awesome. Because I didn't want to butcher it because she was really, really interesting. I got to go to an art exhibit that she was hosting in Melbourne or whoever books or shows for her. I don't know. But let me just say, this notebook is awesome. And it's not just any notebook. It's a sketch pad. So I'm very excited to have a new sketch pad because I feel like it's fueling my creativity. And I'm not really sure if you can tell from here that it like is one of those weird 3D things that kind of moves. But anyway, she had an obsession. I believe I should also probably look this up, but I'd like you guys to look her up as well. Yayoi Kusama, was it OCD? I believe is. Is that an airplane? I don't know. I'm crazy. There's probably nothing there. Yes. Okay. So she had obsessive compulsive disorder, which does make sense. But she was saying something about, like, now all of her stuff is like this, not exactly like this, but it's all done with dots. And in the way that she described it, like on the fronts of some exhibits and stuff, is that like everyone is a tiny little dot. So when you have this endless need to create all these dots, like it's like the universe coming together in and of itself. And I posted a photo, I believe it was on Instagram. I mean, where else do you really post photos? I mean, I know I posted some stuff on my OF too, but I was like, I can't remember what I said, but something about like, you need to stop and listen to art sometimes. And someone comments like, not that art. And I'm like, when I see someone say something like that, it's like, all right, there are enough people that enjoy this art to have entire exhibits that travel around the world to display it to people who go every day and just fill it up and drink it in. And you think that not that one needs to be listened to? What have you created? What have you created? It's like any sort of like creativity or art, right? And it's something that like not everyone is going to understand it. It's not for everyone, but just because it's not for you doesn't mean that it doesn't have some benefit to someone who isn't you. Do you understand? Like, it's just, it's so presumptuous of some like no name face on the internet. This isn't even my art. It's not even like my, oh, it was a negative comment about me, because it wasn't. It was about the art and creation of someone else. And art expresses, like to me, art expresses things that writing just can't, that words cannot. Like sometimes words just completely escape you when it, and this is something that happens to me a lot. There are things that you feel that you can't say, or things that you are afraid to say, but you can pour all of that into artwork. So it's going to make sense to you. It's going to make sense to people who relate to you or have felt things that you do. And other people, it's just like with reading a story, or like maybe I like this comedian or I don't, or I like this performer or I don't. It is all up to the person who is viewing the art. Just because maybe I think something like looks stupid, or I'm like, oh, I don't really like how that looks, right? I'm not going to say that it's not art. It's that person's art, and it's all the people who enjoy that type of art. That is for them. It is not for me. And I can still appreciate it as an art form of like, okay, well, this clearly says something to people that has not been said to me. So I just, it's coming out of that thing of thinking like, oh, just because I think this way and this is what I want, like I'm the one who's right. Well, maybe to yourself, and that's okay. Like if you are happy and confident in your beliefs and the things that you believe in, I know that I've talked about this so many fucking times, but I'm gonna keep doing it because I'm crazy and I don't give a fuck. Not everyone's experience is the fucking same. And just because someone else enjoys something, you not liking it doesn't detract from their enjoyment of it. Like, why is that even negativity that people need to put out there in the universe? It's like, oh, do you think that you're the authority on fun? That you're the authority on expression? Go fuck yourself. Honestly, and all the people who are saying things like this are people who can't even draw a stick figure. And I'm saying not because they physically can't. It's because they don't even have the creativity inside of them to put something out, something that other people could enjoy. Instead, it's like, how does this affect me? No one cares. And like, maybe you should consider why you do. Like, why are you like allowing something else that someone else is doing that is not directly affecting you to affect you? You welcome it in. It's your fucking fault that you're miserable. Congratulations. You can go try to blame it on everyone else around you. But at the end of the day, you're stuck with you and your sad little things that you write on the internet because no one loves you. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, because you're not fucking sorry. And if you're not, you should be. So I don't give a fuck. Anyway, so I just found her art very, very interesting. And I had a really good time going through, because I haven't done like an art exhibit in ages. And one of my favorites that I went to was the Van Gogh exhibition that they had in San Francisco when I was very young. And God, it's just like, it's that feeling that you can't fully articulate, right? And that's what art does to you, because sometimes you can look at a painting, or you go to Home Goods, right? And I love Home Goods. And you're going through and you're kind of looking at like the wall art that people will buy for their home. And very rarely have I been in an instance where I'm like, you know what? I need to have this on my wall. And maybe that's just because I'm someone who likes to create my own art. And so I like to put other stuff on the walls. Sometimes there are things that I'm like, definitely I want to put that on my wall. But it's not that frequent. Where was I going with this? Oh, the things that art makes you feel, because you can't fully articulate it, right? Because it's very rare. And it's why I think art exhibits are so cool, that you get to see something that someone has created that just speaks to you in a way that makes you actually stop. And it makes you think of like a memory or a feeling or an emotion. And you're like, there's no reason that this like conglomeration of dots, right, on the wall should be speaking to me and making me feel like such deep emotions that I can't even truly articulate. Like, I could try, but it would just be a mess, just like all of the dots on the wall. And it's not just, oh, dot paintings. It's like, there's so many different things that you can view that give you an actual visceral reaction. And it's crazy, because a lot of things that you'll see, like, oh, there's like a photo of a cow on a wall, and that does nothing to you. But, you know, it's so I just find it very fascinating, because it's at that moment that I feel like you are feeling what the person who painted that or who drew that or who whatever felt when they created that art. So you're kind of just taking their feeling, because it's something that relates to you, because it's a feeling that you've had. And what they were feeling at the time that they created that art is somehow related to you and pulling out a part of you. And it kind of is interesting to me, because I just think that everyone is connected in that way, which is very, very cool. So I don't know. Anyway, that was weird. Was it? I don't really care. My show, I can do whatever I want. Because I wrote down some notes, because it's hard for me to keep like on topic when I'm alone. It's hard enough for me to keep on topic in general. So bear with me while I consult my notes. If David was here, he could help me. But David isn't here, because David has a real life.
Don't you hate ads? They take away from the conversation. But you can go ad-free with us at patreon.com/twndpodcast. We create monthly photo sets, host Zoom chats for our dirtbag tiers, and even create short films. We have a wholesome pledge option if you want to show a little support, or dirtbag tier if you want to go all the way with us. We release episodes a day early for all tiers, and each episode is ad-free. So if you want to level up, go to patreon.com/twndpodcast and show your support.
Okay, I can check something off my list. Yay! Isn't that so fun? It's funny, because my vape doesn't actually make a beep when I suck on it, but it only beeps in here, which is interesting. I wonder where that's coming from. Okay. This is a thought I had the other day that I didn't write down, but okay. The thing with vapes, right? Because I've quit for times. I have periods where I don't, like, use it as much. Like, it goes back and forth, right? People are like, just quit. It's like, well, you've never had an addiction, have you? Okay, fucking sue me. I'm gonna be 34 this year. I don't care. All right, if I'm set in my ways, sometimes I'll smoke less, sometimes I'll smoke more. I don't really give a shit. It smells good. Now, one thought I had about that was that I was smoking on, I was like, this is like a little bit bigger than a Tamagotchi, right? And now think about the fact that when we were younger, if you maybe are from my similar era, you probably had a Tamagotchi when you were growing up. We all let them die. Now, listen, we tried our best. I mean, I don't know anyone who still has, who can say that the Tamagotchi that they had when they were a child is still alive today. Show it to me. Actually, I want to see that. Okay. Longest living Tamagotchi. What am I looking up? Oh, I love it. What? The oldest Tamagotchi is said to have lived for 145 Tama years. Okay, but how long is the Tama? The world record for keeping... Okay. Reddit knows. Reddit will know things. Okay. The world record for keeping the original 1996 to 1997 Tamagotchi alive is 89 days. That's not very long, right? But another thing is, a Tamagotchi will eventually die due to either neglect or old age, with the oldest Tamagotchi possible living to 25 years or about 24 real world days. So how did the record get set? It's bullshit. Now they're fighting about if this is real or not. So, okay, it's either got to be 24 days or 89 days. We're not really sure which. Reddit is still arguing about it to this day, so they're not really sure. But now these. Look at this. When it lights up, I'm going to show it to you. It's got little stars and shit that twinkle on it. And I had another one that had like a little astronaut on it, like going, like... I understand why they want to get rid of vapes, right? Like, they're so entertaining. But now the Tamagotchis are the vapes. And they're killing us. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, that's not what I was going to talk about. Oh, what I did want to talk about was honeydew. Now, you might be thinking, why would you want to talk about honeydew? Let me tell you. Now, I correlate honeydew to being like the Nickelback of fruits, because I hear on podcasts people shitting on honeydew. I've seen it on like TV shows or movies, and someone will make like a random little snarky comment about the honeydew. I talk to so many people where I'm like, oh, like, do you like honeydew? I mean, like, I go around just asking people if they like honeydew. Can you imagine? I'm going up to this lady at Starbucks. I'm just like, so do you like honeydew? You want to be friends? Anyway, but what I have to say to those people, right? Have you ever had ripe honeydew? Have you never had like the correct consistency, the correct ripeness of a honeydew? Because if you had, I think that you would be singing a much different tune. Now, one of the problems is if you cut the honeydew, If you cut the honeydew, it's like a tongue twister. If you cut the honeydew too close to the rind, right, you're going to get all like that crunchy bit like that you don't want to eat of the watermelon, right? But a really nice juicy honeydew, it won't look as white as like most of the times, like if you're, I don't know, at a Denny's or something and get the mixed fruit, or like at a Holiday Inn taking their little breakfast buffet. Now, they look very pale, very washed out honeydew, and those are always crunchy, and that's gross. I will give you that. It's just like eating the rind of a fucking watermelon, and I never like to do that either. I don't like watermelon. I've ranted about watermelon, but honeydew fucking hits, because if it is the correct ripeness, it is the same consistency, basically, of, what do you call them? The cantaloupe. I wanted to say antelope, but I knew that that was a deer-like creature. But it's a similar consistency, and it's very, very juicy, and it's delicious, but it's much lighter than the honeydew, right? Like a lighter flavor. Oh, it's just so good. Like, if I'm going to get a boba tea, it's going to be a honeydew slush. Like, I know that's not tea, but boba drink, boba slush, I don't know, whatever it is, it's honeydew, and it fucking hits. So I think that people are either just hating honeydew because it's like the fun thing to do, like hating Nickelback, or if you've just not had good honeydew. Because if you think that you don't like honeydew, I challenge you to go out there and find a nicely ripened honeydew. Cut into that motherfucker, scoop out some little melon balls, just use a spoon, use your hands, you just shove your face in there and try to eat it. Because if it is that correct consistency, it's going to be a game changer for him. Like, you're not even going to want cantaloupe anymore. You're going to be stuck on honeydew. And that's what I know. So I don't know if you knew that, but the more you know. I can't believe we're only 24 minutes in. No one's going to be listening anymore. And that's okay. One thing that we can move into next is that I did a little call to action for some emails. That's right. And people actually emailed, which is really cool. And there's something else I want to talk to you about, but I left it in the other room. So I think that I will address that at a later date. Fuck, I love Liquid IV. Did you know that if you go to liquidiv.com and use code TWND, you save 20% on your purchase? Were you aware of that? Sorry. I'm not sorry. Why do I always say I'm sorry? Like, honestly, I'm not sorry. Why do I say it? You're so conditioned to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, so you did give your name, so I'm going to use your name. Hi, Molly. It is Dami, and I had a couple questions for you. First, if it was life or death, I mean, you had a gun, like, put to your head, what song would you bust out for karaoke to impress the judges, and why? Listen, it's going to have to be Steel Panther, and it's going to have to be... Well, why am I having so many dead spots in my brain right now? Think about it. Steel Panther. It's fucking iconic. I listen to all the time. I've sang it in so many BTS videos. What's happening to me? Am I dying? You guys, I think I'm dying. Okay. I know what it is. If I could just like sit still long enough to think of it, but now it's completely escaping me. So I'm just going to look it up and I'm so sorry. Like, don't think that I'm a poser because I know every fucking word in this song. Steel Panther. I would give you the stars in the sky, but they're too far away. If you were a hooker, you know. It's Community Property. There we go. Why the fuck couldn't I think of that? It's literally, it's in the song. It's like in the main chorus line of the song. That's how you know I'm still jet lagged, motherfuckers. So let's get into it. That would be Community Property. Like, listen, I can bust out that weird gravelly voice. And so I don't have to actually really sing because it would show how truly, truly terrible I am. However, if I could get into the character of Steel Panther, if I can just open myself up and let Steel Panther come inside of me, then I would be able to belt it out. And Community Property, I know all of the words to it. I've listened to it so many freaking times. I have played it at almost every shoot. And every time it comes on, I need to pause and just belt it out. I don't know what to tell you. I really love it. It makes me happy. It's such a catchy like rock song. It just is beautiful from start to climax. Finish. I mean, whatever. Second, what tips or secrets can you give a guy to make him a master cunning linguist? Cunning linguist. Shit. Like, here's the thing. I keep hearing this buzz. David, you'll have to let me know if this buzz is real or if I'm having an aneurysm. That would be cool to know at some point in time, preferably before I die. So the thing about being a cunning linguist is that it just depends on the woman. Like, so guys, here's the thing with guys. Love you guys. They all come the same for the most part. Like, I mean, sure, maybe you need a butt plug to help get you over the edge. Maybe you need a little something, something. But generally speaking, very generally, very broadly speaking, most men come the same way. It's the stroking of the penis, whether it's inside of a woman, inside of a butthole of a woman, inside the butthole of a man, or inside your hand or someone else's hand. That is just typically how you come. It's not like, you know, with women. Now, the thing with us is that there's so many different ways. And there's so many different ways to make it work and so many different ways to completely fuck it up, depending person to person. Some women cannot come from internal stimulation, which I didn't find out about until like my mid to late 20s, which is very, very interesting to me because I have always been able to, well, not always, but if I'm put in a situation where it's hitting right, I can get off from like internal stimulation. Now, sometimes I thought, you know, I couldn't come from internal stimulation, but that was because some partners had very small genitals, like we discussed last week with Caroline. So I would say that it's leaning towards a majority from what I've heard, a majority. And I could be totally wrong on this, but from my personal experience talking to other women and experiencing other women, is most are clitoral. Like, only, like, the internal is just like, it's like happening, you know what I mean? So if you're gonna be good at cunning linguist, see, now you got me cunning linguisted, and now I don't even know how to actually say the word. But the best thing that I can recommend is by talking to your partner about it, because your partner is gonna know what's getting them off. So it's like, maybe they like more of a sucking motion on their clit. Maybe they more like really fast little flicks with your tongue. Like, maybe they want a finger inside while you're tonguing them. Maybe like if they are a G-spot kind of girl, you know what I mean? There's so many different things that everyone likes, that everyone like, maybe even if it would be an easier way for them to get off, they don't like it that way. Like, there's just so many things. Like, the biggest thing is just, if you want to have good sex, you need to talk about sex. And I, like, it's so funny to me And this is even coming from someone who, like, I used to not be able to talk about sex, like, at all. I mean, we've discussed the fact that I didn't want to have a bra so badly that I used to tape down my nipples with Band-Aids and just leave them there for days, which couldn't have been healthy for my nipples. But, like, when it's something that is so, like, oh, it's, like, taboo, it's this or that, then there's all this weird shame that gets tied in to sex. And sex shouldn't be a shameful thing. It shouldn't be something that's like, oh, I don't want to talk, it's embarrassing. It's like, then don't do it. Honestly, in my fucking opinion, don't do it. If you're not willing to talk about it, you can't be about it. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, everyone is so different. And even maybe guys have, like, different kinks, even if it's, sure, like, it's typically just, like, you know, just two hand and glock, glock that shit. That's fine. But maybe some guys like a little something extra, or they like a certain kind of hand motion, right? And a lot of women are, I feel like, more shamed about sex than men, right? So even if maybe it's something that you're more willing to talk about, she might not be willing to talk about it. You know what I mean? Because there is that weird internalized shame. It's like we were talking about with Caroline, like the collective we, everyone who listens, talking with Caroline, about how, like, women are supposed to be just like, oh, just very demure and don't show anything and don't talk about that and don't be aggressive and don't be abrasive and just be soft and squishy and do what you're fucking told. Well, I'm sorry, but it's 2020 fucking five. So we're going to be talking about it. And if you know someone in your life who is like, oh, I don't want to talk, have them listen to the show, maybe. Because listen, when you don't talk about things, when you don't communicate what you like, all you're doing then is you're basically assaulting yourself when you go into a sexual situation, whether it's like, oh, now I feel obligated to, like, do this or, like, sleep with this person, but I don't really want to. You're doing that to yourself. Now, there's a difference between if someone is taking away your decision to do so, whether it's, like, by drugging you or getting you intoxicated or manipulating you emotionally, physically, all of that kind of stuff. And I can't say the R word. You know what the word is. It rhymes with grapes. I don't know what to tell you. Do you remember the grapist from College Humor back in the day? Old YouTube. You remember that? I do. So you should know what the R word is. So I'm not talking about in situations like that, but I've even heard with people who are in partnerships and it's like, oh, well, like, it's such a chore to, like, all, and I see it in, like, shows and movies of, like, married couples, like, and I can understand with kids, right, where it just gets to be the point that it's just, like, so exhausting that you're not into it, sure. But I even know this with, like, other people who are in relationships who don't have kids, where it's like, well, just gotta keep them happy by, like, you know, doing this thing that I don't want to do. And it's like, why don't you want to do it so badly? Is it because it's not fun for you, because you haven't allowed yourself the opportunity to make it something that is fun for you? Because, like, I believe it's Taylor Tomlinson for sure, but I'm totally gonna butcher it. But if you've listened to Taylor Tomlinson, she's a great comedian. If you've ever heard her before, you'll probably have heard this, where sex is like just the enthusiasm, right, of just everything in your mouth. Everything goes in your mouth. That I want to tell you, just put it somewhere, grab this, lick this. Like, it's like an explorative, weird buffet of the person that you're supposed to be, like, loving and hopefully physically attracted to. Why is it something that you don't want to be doing? And I understand, like, you don't want to do it all the time, but I never look at sex with my partner like a fucking chore. Never. It's not, but I have, and I've been in those situations of, like, where all sex felt like a chore to me, honestly, unless it was, like, the girl shows that I did, because I was put into a situation by a grapist who had a lot of things done to me that were outside of what I felt was my area of control at the time. Now, when you can create an environment for yourself and you remove yourself from people who make you feel terrible, whether it's about your body or your sexual performance or whatever, who are willing to communicate with you and talk with you and help you through those things, or to discover things that you didn't think that you would enjoy, but maybe you did, or things that you wanted to try, but then you're like, ah, let's not do that again. Like, to have safety in your sexual space is so very important. And I would also encourage you as a woman or even as a man, like I honestly, it's not like I can speak much to like gay male relationships. I'm not even sure if that's the correct term, but it's no, hey, obviously. What I'm thinking of is, are you communicating with your partner? Do you want to have good sex, or do you want to like continually feel like this weird sense of shame that's tied to something that should be bringing you two closer together? And if you're in a situation where you feel like certain things are being asked of you or expected of you, and you don't feel safe in your sexual space, you need to get out of it, for one. But what I would also encourage you to do is explore yourself and figure out the things that you might like, or the things that you definitely do like, and explore that even more. Like, there are things that you can do on your own before you even welcome a partner into the situation to explore your body to a point that you feel comfortable with it. Whether that's just like taking moments to like, and I'm speaking more to women here, and I don't know if as many women listen, which I wish I definitely wish we had more women listeners. But if you are feeling some sort of shame about like your body or sex or this, like spend some time on your own with that. And I'm talking like strip yourself down in front of the mirror. Look at yourself, inspect yourself. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, like a doctor situation, but find things that you do like, find things that you don't like, but realize it's all just a part of you. And honestly, there are so many things that if you don't like certain things, you can change with your body. Like even like me, like I used to hate the fact that I like would rip off all my nails down to little stubs. Like my fingernails used to bleed all the time. So I started just getting acrylics all the time, and it makes me feel better. Like I sometimes don't know how to use my hands, but I don't feel like I have these weird stubby little fingers anymore. There, and I'm not saying that you even necessarily have to change anything, but I'm saying that really spending time with yourself, exploring your own body, whether it's just looking at yourself and coming to terms with how you look and trying to love that, I think is so very valuable. And I think that also taking time on your own to explore yourself sexually, like I'm not trying to like walk you through something weird here, but fucking touch your goddamn nipples. They're not just for being covered behind a bra or having a baby suck on them. There's pleasure to be had from the nipples, and maybe your nipples are super duper sensitive and you're like, oh, I can barely touch them. Guess what? Now that's something that you've discovered that you know the next time you have a sexual encounter where it's like, hey, either like I want this amount of pressure on my fucking nipples. Tell people what you fucking want. Tell them harder. Tell them softer. Tell them no. You can tell people no. You definitely can. But if you say no all the time, because like to a sexual situation, especially if you're someone who has a partner, you need to evaluate the why of the constant no. You need to question why you have this feeling like the sex with your partner is a chore, because I think there's a lot of personal examination that needs to happen within yourself. And I wish I had known this sooner for me personally as to why you feel this way, because typically it's either going to be something about you, it's going to be something about the person that you're with, and you need to either figure out how to fix that, to get through that, or to branch off on your own and discover the things about yourself that make you feel good. Especially when it comes to sex. Like, I think that sex is like it's an important thing, right? And this is not for everyone, because I know there's asexuals and there's people who don't like to have sex, and that's totally cool. But I'm talking about in relationships where it is typically expected, because it's like, if you're not fucking your partner, I'm sorry, but you're roommates. Like, unless you don't live together, then you're just like, you just hang out. Sometimes they're a friend. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Because if you're not wanting to fuck, and I'm not saying, like I said, that you want to fuck them constantly 24/7, but if you don't have a desire to do that, you have some hang up of your own that you need to think about and work through. And I recommend therapy. I really do. Or you need to sit down with your partner and try to talk through those things. And if your partner isn't receptive to talking about the things that are scary for you to talk about, they're not the one for you. You should feel safe with your partner. And that could also be a reason that you're not feeling safe during sex, because you don't feel safe with your partner. And that is a huge fucking red flag. That is not just a red flag. That's a whole red carpet that they just threw on down the line for AVN. You might as well be walking the AVN red carpet of fucking just red flaggery, honestly. And if you are being made to feel uncomfortable by talking about the things that scare you, that person doesn't love you. I'm sorry. They just don't. Because even if things are uncomfortable, if you have someone who loves you, and maybe it's uncomfortable for them too, then you're reaching this place of vulnerability with someone. And vulnerability is a huge part of a healthy relationship is the ability to be vulnerable with each other and not use that against each other. Like, and this goes into so many aspects of not even just sex, but like communication with your partner and all of that kind of stuff. So that was a really, really long rant, but I think that took us another 20 minutes. So, whew, that was really good. I don't even remember what I said. I kind of blacked out a little bit. I hope it was useful. Anyway. Do you know the funny thing too about doing a solo episode is that I talk for so long uninterrupted. Like when Laura is here or there's another guest who's here, it's like you get kind of breaks from talking. But when I get going, I just like don't stop if I'm not like kept in check or like, oh, sorry, just hit my microphone. Or if I'm not like kept in check or like listening to what somebody else is saying and like giving people space to talk and stuff like that, I just go. And then my mouth is so fucking dry and like my throat hurts by the end of these episodes. It's insane. I'm like, what is happening? There's like no pause, no lull. And sometimes I scream a lot. And I know that we had we have another email as well, so thank you so much for writing in, Dami. I appreciate that, and I hope that those things were helpful to you and to anyone else who's listening. And also, if you're a dude, thank you for listening, but also please share with your female friends, or if you know other performers as well who you think could benefit from listening to something like this or who would maybe be good guests, share us with your friends. Please do. It helps the show grow. It's very much appreciated. And also hitting subscribe apparently like super helps with the algorithm and stuff like that. Like the more subscribers you have, the more likely your stuff is to show up on YouTube and other suggested pages like for podcast audio and stuff like that. So wherever you listen, wherever you watch, please consider subscribing. It would really, really mean a lot to me. Like so fucking much. You have no idea. We've already grown quite a bit on YouTube in the last year, which was really cool. But honestly, the more the merrier. It'd be really cool to get like a big play button that we could put up on the wall. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get there, but that'd be pretty sick. And you can help that by just subscribing. It's all you have to do. And sharing with a friend really, really helps. It gets you extra brownie points. So, honey, what does it make you think of? Sweet, delicious, sticky, licking it off your partner? If you want to have fun with a special friend or are someone who loves self-pleasure, Honey Playbox has the toys for you. Use our code TWND to save 15% on your purchase. Amp up your playtime at honeyplaybox.com. You deserve pleasure, so elevate your experience with Honey Playbox and support our show by using code TWND at checkout. Watching podcasts is fun. Watching reruns, also fun. But nothing beats a live experience. Check out our friends at Jerkmate by going to jkmte.com/TWND. Every sign up helps our show. Don't jerk alone. Get your front row seat to live events. Try a gold show from the comfort of your couch. Check the show description or go to jkmte.com/TWND to try it out. Name is fine, just not the username. Got you. All right, this is from Steve. I heard you were looking for things to chat about, and I was just curious what your opinion was on how a healthy relationship lasts. That's funny because I feel like I was just talking about that. A few of my friends have separated from their spouses recently, and each couple have been together for quite a few years. So I thought this would be something good to talk about. I'm interested on your take. Stay amazing as always. Your fan, Wink Steve. Okay. So I don't think I'm an authority on how to make healthy relationships last. I made a really unhealthy one last for like way too fucking long. So that's an achievement that I have under my belt. But I think that after going through that relationship, it definitely has helped me enter this new one with a much better mindset. And I think that having the partner that I am with helped a lot with how I've come to deal with a lot of things over the last, well, over 5 years now. It's interesting because, so when I came into this relationship, for instance, I had no idea, honestly, even before I got married to my ex-husband, I had no idea what a healthy relationship was. It was kind of like, you see like the examples of people around you, right? And so I think like my aunts, my uncles, and like someone was always having some weird fight about something and just all this weird comments of like resentment. And My mom was like, okay, I'm not going to get like too deep into the weeds, but maybe some of you can relate to this. I had a mom who was very much like always using me as a therapist, basically, but I'm a child. And it's like, you know, talking shit to me about my dad, about financial situations, about my dad again, about her sisters, about her mom, about this person, you know, from church and all of this drama that was here. And like, oh, shitting all over my grandma. And like, oh, do you know she's a lesbian? Like, just so much like negativity of stuff. Like, I was at the point in my life when I was young that I was like very adamant about the fact that I did not want children. Still don't. Hi, younger me. You were right. Didn't want to get married, was very adamant about that. Like, because and this is not my parents' fault. Like, it's not like, oh, this huge blame game, but I didn't look at their relationship and think, man, I want that. But I also didn't think that with like a majority of the parents who were together that I knew, whether it was, you know, extended family members, whether it was like other people in the neighborhood, whether it was people from church, because I've always been kind of an observer of people, right? I watch and I'm like, how do you people? And I study it. And that means that I'm quiet a lot. And that means you hear a lot. And I would hear a lot of things. And they weren't things that were like positive. It wasn't like, and I'm not saying that nobody was positive about their relationship, but from what I remember, the majority of people, it's like, here's all the women off to the side talking shit about the husbands. Here's the husbands over here being like, oh, you know, Barbara made me do this with the garage and I said I didn't want to. And like, there's a point of contention with my childhood home basement for like years where it's like, oh, he's just never going to get it finished, but he's working all the time, but he's never going to do this. And I'm like, well, but you don't do anything. It's like this constant back and forth of like everyone just wants to throw something at someone. And maybe when you're with someone for a long enough time and there are enough stressors thrown your way, maybe you do just like lose that love for someone. But I have come to a point where I feel, this is just me personally and based on my own experiences, I think that there's just a lot of people who are married and shouldn't be. I think, based on my experiences with people and observing people and listening to people, I think that a lot of people, especially back in the day of like our parents and stuff like that, like you, that's what you did, was you got married, right? And it's like, oh, well, we had sex, so we got to get married. Or, you know, this is the third one. Oh, you're 22. You're going to be an old hag. No one's going to want you. You have to lock it down, get married, have kids. Like, that's like pounded into you, right? Literally, because pound babies in there. Anyway, it was a sex joke. But I think that it was just a different time of like, and it's not like mental health was big back then. And I think that like now we're in the generation below them who's like, well, now we're trying to figure out things like, oh, like what is wrong with it? What makes my brain do this thing that it does? And how can I work to better myself on that? Or, you know, maybe having kids isn't what I want, or maybe getting married isn't what I need. Maybe I need to work on myself and deal with people telling me that I'm selfish because I want to do that instead of like repopulating the planet. Like there's not like billions of people. You know what I mean? Like I think that there's a lot of people who are with someone and there's maybe certain things that they like about them or that they do for each other. But then it reaches this point that you have enough time with someone and too much has been done that can't be undone. There wasn't good communication to start with, so it didn't foster any sort of good communication moving forward. And some people can rectify those things and they do things like they go to therapy, they work on it, they figure it out. And that's really awesome. But I think that a lot of people don't, or even find in therapy that maybe they were just never that compatible to begin with. So I don't think there's necessarily anything really wrong with divorce or breaking up or even being alone. Like, I think that we live in a much different time now where there are so many options at our fingertips. And for the most part, so many of us have like so little struggle. And I say compared to like most parts of the world, because I think if you live in the USA, no matter what you want to say about like politics and this and that, I'm not getting into that shit. That's all you, boo. I don't give a fuck. What I'm saying is that when you step outside of this country and you go to other places and you experience other things, and you talk to other people from around the world, you can realize that no matter who you are living in the US, for the most part, you are pretty privileged. You are pretty fucking privileged. And that's why I think there's so much like dissent, honestly, because it's like, well, there's not technically some big war that we're fighting for. Everyone's fucking divided on everything right now. It's like you can't, for the most part, have a rational conversation with someone when it comes to things on the internet. I found it to be a much different experience talking to people outside of the internet. But I think that there's not this, I mean, there's struggle, and I'm not going to say that there's not struggle, but it don't feel like it's the same as it was back then. Back in the days of dinosaurs. Well, not actually, but you know what I mean. And I think that the key to having a long and healthy relationship is to actually take the time to... It's when I turn that I hear it. That's weird. Anyway, is taking the time to really evaluate the person that you're with. Because it's like, I know some people get married, and this happened to me, like... I got kind of whisked away by my last relationship, taken away from everyone. And then it was like, oh, now we're getting married and we're not telling anybody for 8 months. And then we're going to pretend that we're engaged. And then we're going to have this weird other time and all this timeline. Then you have to keep track of that because, you know, I'm essentially trafficking you. And, so it was all this kind of crazy stuff. But I think that you can't really know someone in a year. I don't think that you even really know someone in 2 years or three. I think that you start to know them, but I think that the more things that happen over time that you kind of like ignore or that you let pile up or that you don't talk about, that you don't address, that is just going to lead to a point where you're like, well, fuck, I've been with this person for 10, 15 fucking years. Is this going to be the rest of my life? Because I spent all this time thinking that things would change or that this person would change. And I'm not even saying just like an abusive relationship, because that's not, you know, why all relationships end. That's just me personally. But there's a lot of just things like I don't think about my partner and just have this big stream of like negative things that I could, would, or would even want to say about him. They just don't occur to me. Yet often when I hear other people discuss their relationships, it's, I'm like, I don't think you really like this person. Why are you with them? Why are we, it's like, you know, when I talked about with Caroline, where it's like, we could have said no. Those times we should have said no, like you, just because a guy is there with his pants down doesn't mean you're obligated to suck it if it's not the right fit for you. You know what I mean? Like, we can just say no. And I think that that's a hard thing to do, because, you know, it's this thing of like, oh, well, I failed, or you didn't fail. You like learned. And I think that that's a bigger thing. And I've said this before, like if you're thinking about leaving a relationship, you're like, well, what will I do after? What if I never find someone? Blah, blah. Find your fucking self. Find yourself. Because you need to. Because if you don't find yourself, you'll either be stuck in a situation that makes you feel fucking miserable, whether it's the sex or the relationship itself. And this goes for friendship, romances, all of that kind of stuff. Do you want to have to keep feeling like shit? Do nothing. If that's what you want, if you're a glutton for pain and you want to keep feeling hurt and feeling burdened and feeling like a burden or feeling any sort of negative thing, and I'm not saying that you should never feel anything negative, but the people that love you aren't going to attempt to make you feel that way. And if you're continually feeling that way, it's either something that they're doing that is being disrespectful to you, you're not feeling respected, you're not feeling heard, or you're not making yourself heard. Either way, whether it's you, them, takes two to fucking tango, you need to figure it out, work through it together, figure out a way to fucking communicate, or just realize that maybe it was never actually meant to be. It was meant to be in the sense that you would have this huge fucking life lesson, but guess what? You're going to keep having life lessons until the day you die, because you're never going to learn it at all. You're never going to experience it all. So it's worth evaluating not only the partner that you're with and like saying all these like, oh, you didn't clean the garage, you didn't hear all the trash, you didn't do that. If that is how someone makes you feel, you shouldn't be with them. You shouldn't be around them all the fucking time. So you need to figure it out. They need to figure it out. Split, fix it. I don't give a shit, but I don't think that there's anything wrong with getting divorced. But I also don't know if every relationship is meant to last forever. And even when I look at like long, healthy relationships, right? It's like, I think a lot of the happiest relationships I've seen are from people who have already been through some shitty fucking relationships, come out on the other side of it and learned who they were as a person. And then found someone else that complimented that. Someone who they were able, who also experienced all of their own fucking shit, put aside their pride and realized that you could work together and love the things about someone that even might annoy you. Like where it's not something that you feel the need to belittle them or to, you know, be a part of the conversation by shitting on your fucking partner because they've already been the person who's been shitted on. Or maybe they're the person who did the shitting, realized what a shitty person they were and worked on it. Like there's so many different things, but I think that you just have to go through those things in life and not everyone's going to go through a divorce, but not everyone's going to be happy in their marriage either. And that's just fucking life. Like I think that we all owe it to ourselves to do a lot of like internal reflection on why you feel the way that you do, because it's important to recognize the why. And it's not just, and you think, oh, it's just this person, or oh, my mom doesn't love me, oh, this person said this. You're letting that in. You're letting it affect you. You need to figure out that it's not just the cause of this one person or these few people. It's how you are fucking reacting to things, and that is your responsibility to do something about it to change it. And I think that's been a fucking episode. So I hope that you have enjoyed this solo episode of the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast. Your homework for this week is to do some internal reflection. Like when you have some big feelings pop up, or if you've had something that you've been thinking about, that you've been considering, really look into yourself. Do some internal evaluation on what the fuck is going on in there. Because sometimes we think we know, but until you actually sit down with your thoughts alone, and think about it, you realize you ain't been thinking at all. So I would encourage you to do that. And also write into the podcast if you have anything that you would like to talk about, if you have any stories of your past relationships that you want to share that you think would be helpful to people, if you need advice in your current relationship. I think that I've reached a point in my life that I'm so much more centered and like focused than I used to be. And I think that a lot of the things that I've learned from my current partnership can help a lot of people, because I think they could have helped me back in the day if I had known the different ways of communicating and being happy in a relationship that I do now. You can email the podcast at twndpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail at 702-900-6446, which are my favorite to receive because I like hearing other people's voices too, because I feel like I'm always only hearing mine, whether it's editing my own content or making podcast clips or anything like that. So I would love to hear from you. And I would love for you to be sharing with a friend. That would be very, very helpful, as I've said before. Subscribe, leave a rating wherever you can rate podcasts. You can follow the podcast on Instagram and X at @twndpodcast. And you can also follow me on Instagram at @thisredheadissfw, and still on TikTok at @leavemollyalone. And remember also to check out the sponsor in the description, because sponsors are good and sponsors bring the show. And what else brings the show is Patreon. Patreon.com/twndpodcast, where we do monthly Zoom chats, bonus episodes, things like Girl Soup, Thought Takes. We do skits, photo sets, all of that fun stuff. So definitely join us there, and we would love to have you. And we'll actually be having 2 Zoom chats in February. So the first one I think you'll miss by the time this comes out, but the second one is coming later in the month. So do not miss out, because on the next Zoom chat, so the one that's coming towards the end of February, I will be giving away a free shirt. That's right. But in order to win, you have to have never have joined a Zoom chat before. You have to be a new Zoom chat joiner, because I know that there are people on Patreon who listen, who interact, but they have never talked in community chat. They have never joined a Zoom chat. And I want to create even more of an amazing community than we already have. So if there are any new people joining the Zoom chat at the end of the month, all of your names will be put into a little drawing at the end of Zoom chat. I will draw the winner of the shirt. So it is 1 of 4, I believe, that was created. So the other 2 have already been given to Rick and Naman. Wait, was it Rick? Naman got one. David. Shit. I'm jet lagged. Anyway, this has been the Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast. I'm so sorry for this, and I'll see you Monday. Come.
The Totally Wholesome, Not Dirty podcast is presented by TWND Productions, created and hosted by Molly Stewart, co-hosted by Laura Contreras, and produced by David Warren.